Welcome to this deep dive. Today, our mission is to look at, well, really the black box of autonomous AI engineering.
Yeah, the stuff you don't usually get to see.
Right, exactly. And we have this incredibly fascinating stack of internal engineering logs, Git commits, and these architectural mission reports. They're all from a platform called AMOF Predator.
Which is just a goldmine for understanding how this stuff actually works in the real world.
It really is. Because usually, you know, when a human professional engineer makes a massive mistake, there's a paper trail.
Oh, yeah, always. You check the commit history, you review the pull request.
Exactly, and you can pinpoint exactly where the logic went wrong. But when you deploy an autonomous AI agent, I mean, an agent that writes thousands of lines of code and makes hundreds of independent architectural decisions, that traditional ledger just vanishes.
It's just gone.
Yeah. So our mission today for you listening is to explore the underlying engineering economics and the context hygiene of these systems. We are going to look at how AMOF Predator tracks exactly what an AI knows at any given second.
Which is harder than it sounds.
Way harder. And we'll look at how it keeps the AI's memory healthy and how it calculates the true cost of autonomous work.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we can even begin to evaluate how well an AI is working, we have to solve this massive accountability problem.
Yeah, proving exactly what information the AI was given in the first place.
Right.
I mean, that is really the foundational hurdle for any enterprise that's adopting these agentic workflows. Like, if you don't have cryptographic certainty about what went into the system, you basically have zero authority over what comes out of it.
Makes sense.
And in the internal logs we are reviewing today, specifically, there's this discovery mission labeled AMO IFI Context Assembly Current Truth 001. The engineering team hit a hard wall regarding this exact issue.
Yeah, reading through that specific mission log, the frustration from the engineering team is just palpable.
Oh, totally. They realized that their platform, AMRF, it was perfectly capable of governing what the AI worker changed, right? They had full observability into the output.
Like the code edits and the terminal commands. Exactly. But they were entirely blind to the exact context assembly that drove those decisions.
Right. They realized they couldn't prove which bytes and from which authority class were actually assembled for any specific model call.
And that's a huge liability.
Massive. Because if the AI hallucinates and, say, drops a critical database table, they couldn't definitively answer whether the AI just went rogue or if it was acting on some stale schema file that accidentally got swept into its context window.
Right. And what's fascinating here is how they structured their solution to this blindness. Because they engineered this highly deterministic, auditable context assembly receipt.
Which they officially tagged in the architecture as amof.context-assembly.receipt.v1.
Yeah. And this receipt, it acts as an absolute source of truth at the native assembly boundary.
Okay.
It doesn't just log that a prompt was sent, which is what most systems do. It records explicit section inventories.
Wow.
Yeah. It mathematically separates the sister instructions from the sealed mission objectives. And it logs the precise token and byte counts for every single component.
So think about a highly detailed restaurant bill. Like, if you were auditing an expense report, a receipt that just says, you know, dinner, $150, is totally useless.
Completely useless.
You need the itemized breakdown. You need the specific appetizers, the drinks, the tax. And the AMOF receipt is doing exactly that for the model call.
That's a great way to look at it.
And what stood out to me in the logs is that it also tracks explicit omissions. It actively records when repository files were intentionally excluded because they were flagged as JIT only. That ensures the boundaries of the AI's current access level were strictly enforced.
And that omissions log is critical for compliance. Like, it proves the system didn't just casually leak a future state or an unauthorized file into the prompt.
Right.
But I'd say the most crucial architectural decision they made with that receipt is actually how they store this data.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, they use SHA-256 hashes and token counts to record the state of the context. They deliberately do not store the raw text of the prompt itself.
Okay, I have to challenge that design choice.
Yeah.
Because in human software engineering, we keep the raw logs.
Sure.
And storage is incredibly cheap right now. So why wouldn't they just save the entire text of the prompt?
I know. It sounds counterintuitive.
Right. Because if I'm a developer trying to debug why a multi-agent system went off the rails, wouldn't it be vastly easier to just open a text file and read exactly what the AI read word for word?
It sounds intuitive, yeah. But at the scale of autonomous engineering, storing raw prompts creates this catastrophic data bloat. Mm-hmm. And also massive security vulnerabilities.
Wait, really? How so?
Well, let's look at the telemetry bloat first. A single autonomous mission might involve hundreds of rapid-fire model calls.
Okay.
And each of those calls might contain a context window of 100,000 tokens. Mm-hmm. We're talking entire code bases, architectural diagrams, dense system logs.
Oh, I see.
Right. So if you save the raw text of every single prompt for every single turn, your telemetry database will outgrow your actual application database in a matter of days. You are effectively photocopying the entire repository for every micro decision the AI makes.
So the system would basically just grind to a halt trying to write its own audit logs.
Exactly. But even if you threw infinite cloud storage at the problem, you still have the security vulnerabilities.
Right. You mentioned that. How does storing raw prompts compromise security if the logs are all internal anyway?
Because prompts inherently sweep up whatever the AI is working on, which very often includes highly sensitive transient data.
Oh, like API keys or something?
Yeah, or the AI might be debugging an environment variable file or analyzing a core proprietary algorithm or reading a database schema that contains PII. So if you dump raw prompt text into your standard observability logs, you are taking your most sensitive operational secrets and just spraying them across your logging infrastructure.
Yikes.
It wildly expands your attack surface. So by using SHA 256 hashes, AOS achieves cryptographic provenance instead.
Okay, so how does that work in practice?
If they need to audit a decision, they can take the files from that exact millisecond in the repository's history, hash them again, and if the fingerprints match, they have mathematical proof of the context.
That's brilliant. They get absolute observability without the bloat and without leaking secrets.
Exactly.
But, you know, solving the data bloat problem with hashes introduces kind of a new bottleneck. Because just because you have a lightweight receipt of what the AI consumed doesn't change the fact that the AI is still consuming a massive, computationally heavy amount of context.
Oh, definitely.
Which logically leads to the next major problem they outlined in these logs, which is cognitive overload.
Yeah, the junk drawer problem.
Right. Once you can audit the context, you realize just how fast the AI's memory fills up with absolute garbage.
And this is where context hygiene becomes paramount. Like, just because an AI model boasts a 2 million token context window does not mean you should fill it.
Exactly.
Because as the context window expands with endless back and forth conversation and raw terminal outputs and repeated code base reads, the AI's attention mechanism begins to degrade.
It basically loses the signal in the noise.
Exactly.
And here's where it gets really interesting. AMOff Predator tackles this degradation actively with a UI element called the Context Health Indicator Chip.
Yeah, it's such a neat feature.
It sits right on the operator's dashboard and provides real-time telemetry on the AI's cognitive load. And it has these very specific states.
Right. So early in a mission, it might read context 42% healthy.
Okay.
But as the agent pulls in more files and runs more terminal commands, it shifts to 73% dense.
Dense. I love that word for it.
Right. And then finally, it hits a critical threshold, which says 88% consider follow-on.
Notice the phrasing there, too. It says consider follow-on.
Yeah.
It doesn't throw a fatal error or automatically terminate the process.
No, because this is a brilliant piece of human-in-the-loop design.
Yeah.
High context pressure is an advisory metric here.
Okay, so it leaves it up to the human.
Exactly. It gives the human operator the agency to look at the task and decide, hey, do we push the AI to the absolute limit of its current context window to finish this last line of code? Or do we trigger a lineage-preserving follow-on mission?
I mean, think about how you browse the internet when you're researching a deeply complex technical issue. You start with one search, right?
Yeah, sure.
Which leads to a GitHub issue, which leads to five different documentation pages. And suddenly, you have 100 chaotic browser tabs open.
I've all been there.
Your machine is lagging. You can't even read the tab titles anymore. And you've completely lost track of your original goal.
It's a mess.
Right. So a follow-on mission is basically the equivalent of closing all 100 of those chaotic tabs, but keeping one clean, neatly written sticky note that outlines exactly what you've proven so far and exactly what unresolved work remains.
That's a perfect analogy.
And then you open a fresh, fast browser window and you just keep working.
And in the AMOF architecture, that sticky note is formally called durable synthesized state.
Durable synthesized state. Okay.
Right. When a human operator or the system itself triggers a follow-on mission, it creates a hard, fresh context boundary. It carries over only the absolute essentials.
So what counts as essential here?
It passes the overarching objective, the specific architectural decisions that have already been accepted, the unresolved work, and references to the evidence it has already collected.
Okay.
And crucially, the logs are super explicit that it does not carry over the raw assistant transcript.
Okay, that feels completely counterintuitive to me.
Really? Why?
Well, in human software engineering, we usually want to see the failed attempts so we don't just repeat them. Like, if a junior developer tried 3 different ways to fix a bug and failed, I want to know exactly what they tried.
Right, that makes sense for humans.
So you're saying that for an LLM, preserving that messy work in the raw transcript actually pollutes its reasoning? Like, doesn't it lose nuanced context if it drops the back and forth?
Well, this raises an important question about how LLMs fundamentally process information. Because unlike a human who can compartmentalize a failed experiment, an LLM relies on statistical attention across its entire context window.
Okay, so everything is weighted.
Everything. So if you drag the entire raw transcript into the new mission, you are dragging along every hallucination, every syntax error, and every dead end the AI explored before it finally found the right answer.
Oh, I see.
Raw transcripts breed contradictions. The model might accidentally attend to the broken code from turn 3 instead of the fixed code from turn 12.
So by forcing the system to synthesize its state into accepted facts before handoff, you're essentially sanitizing its memory. You keep the conclusions, but you literally burn the messy drafts.
Precisely. It is the core philosophy of context hygiene. It's all about maintaining a clean cognitive budget.
Wow.
And they maintain the audit ledger across these memory wipes using explicit tracking fields. So the new mission is instantiated with a parent mission id, a handoff summary, and carried evidence refs.
So it still knows where it came from.
Exactly. The new AI agent knows exactly where it fits in the broader lineage of the project. It knows what its predecessor achieved,
mm-hmm.
but its processing power is entirely focused on the clean data.
That's super smart.
It is a highly optimized way to maintain complex, multi-day autonomous workflows without the model collapsing under the weight of its own history.
Okay, so we have optimized the AI's brain space. We've audited its memory with cryptographic receipts. We've managed its cognitive load with health chips and follow-on missions.
Lots of optimization.
Yeah, but optimizing brain space directly impacts the wallet.
Oh, big time.
Because the AMOF logs eventually transition from managing the cognitive budget to managing the literal financial budget.
Right.
How does an enterprise track the actual financial cost of all these highly optimized tokens across, you know, different AI vendors?
Well, this brings us to a complex architectural challenge that's detailed in the logs under telemetry symmetry and runtime economics. Because AMOF Predator is a multi-agent routing system, it doesn't rely on just a single backend. Depending on the task, it might route work to its native execution environment, or it might hand the task off to Cursor's agent backend.
Okay, and this created a massive blind spot they called the asymmetry problem.
Yes.
Because those two backends use entirely different billing models.
Exactly.
Like if AMLF routed a task natively through an API that charges per token, the UI could expose a precise metered cost. It would show the operator that a specific autonomous run cost exactly, say, 32 cents.
Right. Very clear.
But if the system routed the task to Cursor, which operates on a flat $200 a month subscription model, the UI would evaluate the marginal cost of that specific API call and just show $0.
Which is dangerous. The engineering director in these logs refers to that $0 display as the subscription lie.
The subscription lie. I like that.
Yeah, because just because you are paying a flat monthly fee for access does not mean the compute is free.
Right, obviously.
The AI is still burning tokens, is still utilizing cash, and it is still consuming time. If your observability tools tell your engineers that a highly complex autonomous task costs $0, they will treat that compute as infinite.
Oh, for sure. They'll just spam the system.
Exactly. They will stop optimizing their prompts. They will completely ignore context hygiene, and your system will become horribly bloated and inefficient.
So to eliminate the subscription lie, AMOF implemented what they call telemetry symmetry.
Yes.
They hard-coded a rule that both runtimes, so the metered native one and the subscription cursor one, they must expose the exact same core dimensions to the operator.
Regardless of the vendor, the UI must show runs, time, tokens, and cost.
And to populate the cost dimension for a subscription model, they engineered Cursor economics.
Which is really clever.
Yeah. Instead of a zero, the system calculates an allocated cost. So it tracks the total volume of tokens processed by that backend in the billing period, weighs it against the flat subscription fee, and allocates a fractional cost to that specific AI mission.
Right, so an operator looking at a cursor run doesn't just see zero. They see a calculated value like, 7 cents allocated.
Yeah.
It makes the invisible thermodynamic cost of the work visible to the human overseeing it.
But the platform doesn't just stop at making the costs visible. It actively prioritizes how engineers should judge these models.
Right.
They introduced a strict hierarchy for runtime efficiency using the acronym TOQTM. That's tokens, quality, time, money.
And the logs mandate that tokens are treated as the absolute first-class metric here. They even break token telemetry down into granular categories.
Like what?
So you have fresh input, cache reads, output, and reasoning tokens.
Okay, so what does this all mean for the people actually running these systems? Because I have to push back a little on the TOQTM hierarchy.
Okay, go for it.
Why put tokens before money? If I am a director of engineering or a CFO managing a massive autonomous deployment, I mean, the bottom line is kind of all that matters. I care about how much cache the system is burning, not how many microscopic cache reads a model used.
Yeah.
Why prioritize token physics over financial reality?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, like the broader landscape of the AI industry right now, prioritizing money over tokens is actually a strategic trap.
A trap? How?
Because the AI market is incredibly volatile right now.
Yeah.
Vendor pricing is entirely synthetic. Like, an API provider might drop their input token cost by 90% overnight just to undercut a competitor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Or a new open weight model might become momentarily cheaper to host.
Mm-hmm.
So if you measure your system's efficiency purely by the dollar amount, your internal metrics are completely at the mercy of vendor pricing wars.
Oh, I see. So a specific autonomous task might cost a dollar today and 10 cents tomorrow, even if the AI performed the exact same operations and made the exact same decisions.
Exactly.
So your financial metrics would tell you the system got 10 times more efficient, but the system didn't change at all. The weather just changed.
That's a great way to put it. Tokens, however, are a measure of thermodynamic reality. A token is a fundamental unit of compute. If your engineers optimize a system prompt so that the AI effectively utilizes cache reads instead of demanding fresh input tokens,
right,
and it requires fewer total reasoning tokens to arrive at a high-quality code commit, that system is objectively more efficient.
Period.
Period. It is a pure measure of engineering quality. It proves that your context hygiene is actually working and your follow-on missions are properly scoped. Money is simply a downstream byproduct of that token efficiency.
That makes a lot of sense. Tokens are the physics. Money is just the weather.
Exactly.
So by exposing the exact token breakdown, like, how much was served from a cheap cache read versus how much required expensive fresh reasoning, the human operator can actually see the mechanics of how the machine is thinking.
Yes.
And they can optimize the architecture itself rather than just constantly shopping for a cheaper vendor.
Precisely. And it completely changes the daily workflow of the engineers monitoring the platform. They stop just looking at the monthly bill and they start looking at prompt architecture.
Which is much more productive.
Way more. They start asking things like, how can we structure our durable synthesized state so that the next follow-on mission hits a 90% cache read rate? That is how you build a scalable autonomous workforce.
All right, let's synthesize this whole journey for everyone listening. We started deep in the internal architecture logs, looking at how amoff.contextassembly.receipt.v1 uses cryptographic hashes to definitively prove what an AI knew without leaking secrets.
Right.
Then we looked at how AMA actively manages cognitive overload by basically closing the digital browser tabs and preserving lineage through follow-on missions.
The context hygiene.
Exactly. And finally, we just broke down why treating tokens as the fundamental physics of compute is vastly more important than tracking subscription dollars.
A lot to take in.
It is. But why should you care about the internal logs of AMOF Predator?
You should care because these logs represent the exact inflection point where AI transitions from being just a novel chatbot to governed enterprise engineering.
Yeah.
If an AI is just generating a draft of an email for you, you don't really need a cryptographic memory receipt or a context health chip.
Right. Who cares if it hallucinates a little there?
Exactly. But when an AI is autonomously managing your company's production infrastructure, rewriting core logic and deploying code, you need absolute auditable proof of its operational state.
So having mathematical proof of what the AI consumed and managing its cognitive health so its reasoning doesn't degrade and accurately auditing its true economic footprint, that is what separates a toy from a trustworthy tool.
Well said. We are basically watching the real-time development of accountability structures for a completely non-human workforce.
And these new structures require us to fundamentally rethink how we audit work. Traditional human audits rely on intent and documentation. Autonomous audits rely on deterministic state and token telemetry.
Exactly.
Which brings up a really provocative thought to leave you with today. We've seen how these systems can now audit their exact context assembly with cryptographic certainty, right? And we've seen how they can calculate and allocate subscription costs down to the microcent for every single architectural decision. So how long is it until these autonomous agents are integrated directly into the corporate ledger?
Wait, you mean an autonomous agent with its own financial APIs?
Exactly. If the AI is already tracking its own token efficiency and its own allocated cost, how long until the agent is just given a performance-based budget?
Oh, wow.
Like, the AI might notice its context density hitting 88%, but instead of a human clicking the follow-on mission button, the AI calculates that clearing its cache and synthesizing its state will save the company exactly 42 cents in reasoning tokens over the next hour.
An AI autonomously managing its own cognitive budget specifically to maximize its financial budget.
Exactly.
It optimizes its own memory to improve its profit margin.
And that is no longer science fiction. That is just the next logical commit in these AMOFF predator logs.
It really is.
The audit ledger of the future isn't going to be written by human accountants looking for bad math. It is going to be written in cryptographic hashes generated by machines, proving exactly what they knew, when they knew it, and how efficiently they spent their own money.
Wow.
The traditional paper trail is dead. Long live the token receipt. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.